We're talking all morning long about those, about the data dump from WikiLeaks onto the internet, secret diplomatic cables between U.S. diplomats and the State Department back home. Well, those data shed new light on the global nuclear standoff with Iran. The documents reveal for the first time that the U.S. believes Iran has obtained 19 powerful missiles from North Korea. The range of these missiles is allegedly long enough to strike Western Europe, and that changes the global chess game quite a bit. Here to talk about it with us and about the leaks and their impact, David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, David.
Good morning. Good to be with you, Todd.
Also on the line, Jamshi Chokshi, professor of Iranian studies at Indiana University. Professor, good morning.
Good morning, Todd. Good morning, David.
Good morning. David Sanger, let me start with you. Run us through what was leaked in the documents about Iran's nuclear capability and their ability to deliver nukes, if they get nukes, long range with the missiles. Do we have proof or suspicion about an increased capability from Iran?
Well, the document trove, as you've discussed, is huge. It's 250,000 cables, and obviously many of them are extremely long. Among the longest is a fascinating lengthy all-day intelligence assessment meeting that takes place with Russia at the end of last year, and it's a summary of this. We've withheld, at the request of the government, the posting of the cable itself because it's got a lot of very specific information, but we wrote a story that describes in somewhat more general terms the main discoveries from it. And one of the most interesting is that North Korea, which had long been rumored to have shipped a missile called the BM-25 to Iran, but we've never had any certainty of that. The U.S. now assesses delivered 19 of those missiles to the Iranians. Now, this is based on a Russian design. The Russians used it in nuclear submarines, and it had a nuclear warhead. The North Koreans did not deliver, and we don't believe the Iranians have, a nuclear warhead that would fit on top of this. But if, in fact, the Iranians have the missile, as the U.S. Assesses, it would have a range that would go in one direction to about Berlin and in the other direction to about Moscow if launched from Iran.
One of the other things you report on, David Sanger, from the New York Times, is sort of the confluence of events that led to the U.S. pulling back on anti-missile defense in Eastern Europe and instead floating it off the coast of Iran. Now that we think Iran can strike Western Europe, where do those negotiations stand?
Well, there are two interesting and separate things that happened in missile defense. The first was that President Obama scrapped the system that President Bush had put in place, which was going to be planted on the ground in Poland, and it would have taken about 10 years to build, and it would have been mostly effective against long-range missiles. These are intermediate range, sort of longish side of intermediate range that we suspect the Iranians have. So the president argued that there was a more immediate, short and intermediate range threat, and that the long-range threat was further away, his system would put an anti-missile defense closer to Iran. At the same time, last week when the president was in Portugal for the meeting at NATO, NATO approved the first European missile defense system. It's still very vague in the concept. They didn't say who this was meant to defend against, but clearly it's Iran.
Jamshi Chokshi at Indiana University, let me turn to you. How do you see the revelation of medium-range, long-to-medium-range missiles on the part of Iran? What difference do you think these revelations make in U.S. relations with that country?
I think it puts a lot more pressure on not just the U.S., but on all neighboring nations to try to restrain Iran. Perhaps the best thing to come out of these leaks is the outing of Arab leaders' fear of Iran and the outing of their private calls for action against Iran.
Those calls were repeated and, in fact, leaning on the Obama administration over and over again to bomb Iran.
Indeed. And this is certainly making headlines across the Middle East. On the Middle Eastern channels in Iran, it has been overshadowed right now by the assassination of yet another Iranian nuclear scientist. But I think we are beginning to see actions being taken, whether it was the worm against Iranian computers. This is the second assassination of an Iranian scientist. I think we're beginning to see the picking up of indirect pressure against Iran.
I was struck, Jamshi Choksi, by the common cause implicit in the WikiLeaks documents and David Sanger's reporting of them, of the common cause between the Saudi royals, leaders from across the Middle East, and Israel when it came to Iran.
Indeed, I think we're beginning to see that ultimately the Arab Middle East sees Iran as perhaps a greater threat than Israel.
David Sanger from the New York Times, chief Washington correspondent. Is this perhaps a window to some odd sense of unity between Saudi Arabia and their mortal enemy, Israel?
Well, you know, you could say that when the long history of this is written, what the Iranian nuclear program has done is found a way to bring Israel and its Arab neighbors together in some form of common cause. What struck us the most in going through this trove of documents, which we've had for a number of weeks and were able to search through, not I'm sure not exhaustively, but what leapt out at me as a team of us was looking at the Iran-related documents, was the degree to which the Arab leaders, as the professor said, speak much more candidly to the U.S. about their fears of Iran in private than they do in public. Now, many of these leaders have significant Shia minorities living in their otherwise Sunni societies, so they have to be a little bit careful in what they say in public. But clearly, they are much more concerned about the rise of Iran as a regional power than they seem to be about Israel's presumed nuclear weapons capability, which it's had since the late 60s.
And in many cases, criticizing the United States in a sense for delivering Iraq to Iran in, I think one person described it on a golden platter, because you had taken it from Saddam Hussein's control and handed it instead to Iran. And that's going to make a lot of the Sunni governments across the Arab world very, very nervous. David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, thanks so much for your insights into the document dump from WikiLeaks, and Jamshi Choksi, professor of Iranian studies at Indiana University. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.